This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
It's Creature Feature, a spotlight on one of the Wildlife Hospital Dunedin's extra special guests.
That's more like it. And with us in the studio, Jordana White from Wildlife Hospital Dunedin, who comes in to share knowledge, information and requests for assistance, I guess, around looking after our very special creatures. Jordana, great to have you with us. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Morena, you had me breaking into a cold sweat there thinking I was going to have to talk about finance. I'd much rather talk about wildlife.
We could talk about finance if you like.
Sure, that's true. I do actually have to think about finance quite a lot, but yeah, different kind of thing there.
No, we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about hoiho, or more particularly hoiho eggs.
Yes, many of you will know it is hoiho breeding season. So of course, that's our yellow-eyed penguins that are endemic to New Zealand. And we at the Wildlife Hospital take care of a whole lot of yellow-eyed penguin chicks through the breeding season. And just as a reminder, I know we've talked about this before, but the chicks are coming down with a couple of different diseases, and we can sort of carry them through that really vulnerable disease period in the hospital. So there's a whole big operation happening with all of the groups that are working with this species, where the rangers in the field are uplifting chicks at around 3 days of age and bringing them into the hospital. And then we care for them during that vulnerable stage when they're so young and really susceptible to those two diseases that are impacting them. And once they've been given a clean bill of health and they've reached sort of the end of that really vulnerable stage, then the rangers will take them back out into the field and put them back in their nests with their parents, which is where they belong.
I suppose one, if there's any advantage to this, is that you can anticipate that it's going to happen each year.
Absolutely, yes. So we have been planning for hoiho season since probably about May. So our senior vet nurse and practice manager, Gina Martelli, she's been working on all of the logistics and getting all the scheduling and getting all the skilled volunteers that we need to help us arranged. So we were ready as you can be, I guess, for a big season. So we can sort of predict the number of chicks that are coming in. And then the other side of things, which I want to talk about today, is actually eggs, and that the Wildlife Hospital receives yellow-eyed penguin eggs at the beginning of the season or early in the season. And the reason for that is there's a site here in Dunedin called Green Island. So, of course, many of you will be aware of the suburb Green Island, but there actually is an island off of the coast of Waldronville called Green Island, and that is a breeding site for yellow-eyed penguins. Unfortunately, it's not been a very successful site for those penguins. So last year they had 2 years ago, they had 16 chicks on that island, or 16 eggs. And of those 16, only 3 of the chicks survived to fledging, which is getting old enough to grow their adult feathers and go off on their own. And that's a pretty terrible result. There's a few reasons for that. That's those disease pressures that I talked about. And then the other issue is it's an island. It's very challenging to access that island. It's difficult. It's expensive. And so it's not monitored as much as some of the other sites here on coastal Otago. And so the decision was made between Naitahu and the Department of Conservation that the Wildlife Hospital had the ability and the knowledge to incubate and hatch eggs, and that it would be worth trying that if we could keep those chicks safe from disease and if we could get them to successfully fledge, if we could boost those rates. So last year, what we did with all of the teams, everybody agreed that we would receive half of the eggs from Green Island, and the other half as a trial would then go into wild foster nests. So they would be raised in their natural environment by parents, and the other half would be raised by us just for a short period of time, just through that vulnerable period. And then we would sort of have that control group and then the sort of experimental group with us at the hospital to compare notes. And what ended up happening is we were able to incubate, hatch, and raise the majority of our eggs, and those chicks didn't come down with disease. And the chicks that went into the wild foster nests ended up coming into the hospital anyway because they developed disease. So it was quite an interesting experiment, and the majority of the eggs that we hatched and the chicks that we raised from those eggs, they went into wild foster nests and most of them fledged. So we had much higher success rates with this intervention than leaving them on an island that wasn't so great for them.
So you set yourself a task every year now, right?
Yes. So you're leading me into this next. So this year we decided, well, that was, you know, very telling. So the Department of Conservation in Ngāi Tahu said, yep, that's, we'll uplift all of the eggs and bring them to the hospital this year. It's still very possibly a temporary measure. There may be other decisions made for that site that we won't necessarily be involved with that. Those are management decisions for sort of to think about the long-term health and the future of that breeding site. But for now, the goal is to get as many of those chicks to adulthood as we can. So we did receive all of the eggs from Green Island this year. So in addition to the, so far we've had, I believe it's 157 chicks come through the Wildlife Hospital in November. We also received, I think it was 10 eggs this season from Green Island. So there's obviously a different thing to have a live chick and an egg. So there are a few things that we have to set up in the hospital to be able to carry out this operation with the eggs. So I should just say first, with the first thing that happens with uplifting eggs is actually happens on the island. So the rangers are going across. They've found the nest. They know where they are. They've removed the eggs. And now they're checking. They need to check the eggs to see if they're fertile. And the way that they do this is through a technique called candling. And it, I guess back in the day, it used to actually be done with candles. Now it's done with just a really bright torch. So they're probably, I imagine, I've not been out with the team when they've done this, but I imagine they're having to put the egg inside their jacket or something, because it needs to be dark enough to be able to have the torch light up the egg. And so what they're looking for is a small spot in the egg, which is the embryo, and a bit of a web of blood vessels kind of emanating out from that little spot. So if the egg is infertile, it will basically just be clear. So they won't see that dark spot and they won't see a web of blood vessels. So they're only uplifting the ones that they are sure are fertile. If they're not sure, they're going to uplift them anyway, but there'll be some obvious ones that would be infertile. So they're very obviously, you can imagine handling a viable hoiho egg is quite, give you some nerves, I guess. Mm-hmm. So you have to be quite careful. You have to be quite gentle. They've got special boxes that they use to transport those eggs off of the island. And they're coming straight to us. They can't waste a lot of time because they need to keep those eggs warm. They've just come out from underneath their parent, which is a nice, warm, moist environment, bringing straight to the hospital where we've had our incubators set up. We ran the incubators probably 2 weeks before we were expecting the eggs to come in. We wanted to make sure they were all working exactly as they needed to. The temperature was right. The humidity was right. No glitches, just always at the ready. You know, that's pretty high stress situation to prepare for. So they come in and we've got the humidity and the temperature set for what research has been done on what the conditions are in the nest for hoiho. So for different species, that the sort of temperature will be different and the humidity will be different. But for hoiho, it's about 37 to 38 degrees and 55 to 60% humidity. So that's what we've got our incubator set for. So they kind of look like little mini fridges, the incubators, and then they have a whole bunch of shelves or racks in them, and they're tilted at an angle. And the eggs are set carefully onto those shelves. The tilt is automatic. So the incubator actually does slowly, automatically move them just to keep them at a different angle. You don't want an egg to be completely static. You don't want it just to sit there. And in the nest, the parents are actually turning the eggs also. So they might stand up, put their pink feet on it, and just give it a bit of a roll. I've never seen that happen in the wild. I've never witnessed that myself, but it obviously is happening regularly. So our vets will also be turning those eggs. So some incubators will do the tilt and the turn automatically, but in this case, where our staff are the ones doing the turn. They are carefully handling and monitoring the health of those eggs throughout the incubation process.
Which is how long?
So it's a great question. I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head. I'm sorry. There's a range because we don't always know, especially at that site, we don't always know when exactly they were laid. So we do have a bit of a range of hatching from that site, from those eggs. Last year, I think our latest egg hatched on the 17th of November, which is surprisingly late because we had some that went early November. So there's a bit of a range, but yeah, there'll be that. I think we had probably that late hatch was probably in the hospital for 2.5 weeks before it started hatching. So can be slow. It can be it's a long wait sometimes to start seeing a change. So the what will happen as as the egg is developing and the chick is developing, is that embryo that we talked about, that dark spot, of course, will ultimately develop into a chick, all things going well. So that spot will get bigger and bigger, and the blood vessels will, that network will kind of expand out. And eventually the dark spot of the chick will take up the whole egg, with the exception of a little air sac at the end. And that's all things going well. And then there's something called pipping is the process of the chick actually making its way out of the egg. So there's a two-stage process. So it's internal pipping and then external pipping. And external pipping is when it gets really exciting. But when we see internal pipping happening, then that an egg will get moved into a little hatching unit. So that's a smaller unit, and it has more airflow. It has kind of different settings that need to be used, gives the chick a bit more space to do what it needs to do. And then we can more closely monitor it as well, just better visibility. Sometimes chicks will need a bit of an assist to get out of the egg. Thankfully, most of them will hatch quite naturally. That's quite exciting. The external pipping is when you can actually see the chick starting to peck its way out of the egg, and you can see its little beak and sometimes its little face. It's pretty cute. It's a big effort for these little birds. You know, yeah. It's quite exhausting. So you can see they have to take a lot of breaks when they're trying to get themselves out. And you can actually, you know, going in to check on the chick and see its little beak kind of resting on the hole it's made in its shell. And you can, you know, if you talk to it, it'll start peeping a little bit. So, you know, give it a little encouragement.
You're taking on the role of mum and dad.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. And so Lisa Argillo, our head vet, senior vet and a hospital director, she's often the penguin mama. She's in there checking on them, and she does the assisted hatching if required. It can take up to 2 days, 48 hours for the chicks to actually fully emerge once the external pipping starts. So Lisa will say, naturally, they seem to time it for ridiculous o'clock when they are actually emerging from the shell. So she sometimes will be driving back to the hospital in the middle of the night to go and check on a hatching chick. But it's just, you know, there's so much invested in these individuals that, you know, it's really worth going back to check on them at that really vulnerable stage.
And how long might they stay with you?
Well, it sort of depends. We try to keep them at the absolute maximum 10 to 12 days because we want them to be back in their nest. There's always concerns about habituation, so that we don't want them to get used to people. You know, yet they don't really see Lisa as their mother, thankfully, but we try to avoid that as much as we can. We always will keep these chicks with the Green Island chicks, so we always keep them together. We keep them separate from the rest of the hospital and the rest of the chicks, because we are trying to make some discoveries around disease development, and you know how we don't know everything about these diseases, so we wouldn't want any risk of picking up disease from other patients. So ideally, we want them in a nest. So yeah, 10 to 12 days. And essentially, the age is less important than the weight. So we've found that if they're about 300 grams, then they're typically robust enough to be back in the nest and be able to manage if a parent isn't quite ready for a feed as soon as it hits that nest, that they'll be able to wait a bit for their first meal.
So no suggestion that on the return to the nest, mum goes, well, who are you?
So they thank goodness with this species, they're really welcoming of a chick that they haven't seen since, I don't know, either it was in an egg. In this case, they're foster nest, so they've never seen this chick before. It works really well. They, for the most part, their instinct is so strong. They're quite devoted parents, these penguins. Their instinct is so strong. They see a chick, and they're like, yes, I must squish you under my belly and take care of you. And they welcome it back in, or they welcome it in, even if it's not theirs. And it's not 100%. Sometimes they don't respond well to it, and the rangers are prepared for that. So they'll have backup nests that they can try with different parents. And so far it's been no issue to place these chicks, which has been fantastic. Lots of it's like a buzzing hive, everything around hoiho breeding season. So all of the rangers, all of the different groups working with penguins we're talking to each other all the time, every day, who's got a nest, what could go here, what's the backup plan. Everybody is ready to welcome chicks from other breeding sites if they've got a suitable foster nest, for example. So it takes a village, that's for sure, absolutely.
Early days, but, you know, any suggestion that this aspect of the program could grow and is necessary to grow to ensure the population?
In terms of the egg incubation?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that will be an ongoing discussion. So this is, it's still really, as you say, early days in this sort of intervention with eggs, but I think we have enough evidence to suggest that this is a viable intervention and we can continue to do this as long as it's required. Whether or not it goes larger scale that's a big question. The Wildlife Hospital will certainly need more assistance and, you know, more people on the ground to help us, and probably more physical space.
More incubators.
More incubators. But all of those things are possible. So we'll see. It's not our decision, of course, entirely. There's a whole lot of discussion that would have to happen. But I think the island is a great example because it's such a difficult site to access, and it's expensive to access, and there's health and safety risks getting out there. And so this kind of level of intervention makes perfect sense for that. But it might not be the right solution for other sites. And we'll see what the disease findings are with all the research that's happening. It could be that taking eggs from the wild temporarily is the best way to protect chicks from developing disease at that vulnerable stage. But we don't know the answers to those questions yet. So we're buying ourselves time with this solution, and it's working so far, which is fantastic.
So in the meantime, across our area, there is all of this going on in the wild as well, and all of this continued work to help control the disease aspect. And I mean, is any prospect of further work around why and how disease is impacting so much on these young chicks?
Yes, there are. There's a research project that's happening between University of Otago, Massey University. There's a postdoc researcher who's been doing exclusively yellow-eyed penguin disease research these last couple of years, and she's found some very interesting and very promising things about some of the impacts and some of the potential causes. Up until then, we'd had no idea what was causing some of these diseases, or really no concrete evidence. So to have that level of answer is huge. So that's been amazing. And I think that disease research is possibly the most important thing right now for us to save the species, because the disease, there's lots of other pressures as well, but the disease is what's wiping out the chicks. And if you can't save the chicks, there's not going to be a breeding population eventually, right? So that they'll just die off. So the disease piece is super important. And yes, there is ongoing activity. We need there to be more, but it's not up to us.
All right, Jordana, remind us of the ways that we can support the great work of Dunedin Wildlife Hospital.
Well, we are currently having a baby shower because we've had so many babies in the hospital. So if you want to donate to that and support that, you can go to our website, wildlifehospitaldunedin.org.nz, and there's a donate button. You'll find on the website also our bank account number if you want to do just a direct bank transfer. That really helps us out as well.
Really fascinating discussion today, as it always is on our Creature Feature. Jordana, thank you so much for joining us again. We look forward to catching up next month.
Kia ora.
The Wildlife Hospital Dunedin treats sick and injured native New Zealand species right here in the heart of Aotearoa's wildlife capital. Their expert veterinary team patches up more than 500 patients every year, returning the majority of them back to the wild where they belong. You can learn more about the hospital, including ways to support this charitable trust, at wildlifehospitaldunedin.org.nz, or follow their Facebook page for more fabulous creature content.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.